The 6 years which I was the executive director of this institution, and what did we do in all this time to reach our fellow Christians in Peru. So, well, what did we talk about to the church? We talk about creation care. And, well, if what do I understand on what is creation care? Well, I hope that I could get what I did learn in the journals of Perfect Systems of Science and Christian Faith, and that is what we define creation care. That is nothing alien to the Christian doctrine. It's a special way to interpret the Bible. That God created man and made him responsible for managing the rest of the creation, that is, the world and its resources. Man is not the owner of creation, but the steward who must be accountable for how he has managed the land and its creatures. And is well, this is the fundamentals of faith in Genesis, and what means to be a steward. That is what the Lord Jesus says in the Gospels, in different parables in Luke. The biodiversity conservation is one example of this biblically mandated creation care. And there is a way to interpret Genesis on what means the verse of subdue. That is, it means to take care of. So when we approach it, pastors, missionaries, or lay Christians, and they wanted to know, well, why are you losing your time taking care of plants, animals, and not preaching the gospel? Say, well, to conserve nature is part of what we are supposed to do in the Bible, and we mainly, this is basically what we show this. So, how did we try to set up this in a specific place, that is Peru? Well, first of all, it is necessary to know a specific characteristic of this country. This is a Latin American country from the third world, so it has it's underdeveloped. There is 40% of poverty. But there is something quite interesting in terms of biodiversity richness and conservation. We got almost all the climates in the world. We have desert, we have rainforest, we have prairies, we have almost everything that you can imagine. And this is the fifth country in fauna richness, the second one in bird richness in the world. I think it's the first one also in flora species richness, and the 13% of all the Amazon forests lay in Peru. And also now, it's an excellent place to do research and conservation activities. Now the country is safer than it used to be. Well, it's necessary also to know the religious background. Catholic religion came with the Spaniards in 1532. Currently now, the native cults that used to be in this in the country, they are almost inexistent, and some of them are mixed with Catholic traditions. If maybe you have seen some documentaries, there are some people in the high Andes who have a specific cult to the earth. They even sacrifice some animals, and they pray to the mountain. They say that there is a spirit that protects the mountain there. But if you go and ask them, so what's your religion? They're going to say, I'm Catholic. They have like a mixture of that. Well, and something important about history is that all Protestants were denied to preach until 1910. That was specifically in the Constitution. It was forbidden to express any other faith rather than Catholic. That only changed in 1910. And today is freedom of religion, and what happened is that evangelicals are rising exponentially. Now this is the census in 2008, but now there is more than 15% or maybe 20% now of population of evangelicals that are rising very fast. But Peru, even though it's a very good place you can see biodiversity, it has a lot of threats now. There is a large history of mining pollution. Mines and destruction of minerals is the main income of the country. And the mining industry never care about the environment, so there are some places that are totally wasted. And there is also some problems in the Pacific Ocean for the disturbance of the upwelling system. That means El Niño. El Niño causes a lot of damage from, well, some time to time. This is cyclical. There is forest destruction everywhere. So this is inside a protected area that we went there, and, well, we find illegal logging. So, well, there was almost no control there. It's very difficult for the state to control there. And, something else is there is a lot of corruption and abuse in land management against native communities. Usually the politicians that they dwell in Lima, they think that the rainforest is an empty place, so they can just give everything to the oil companies or to the mining companies. But later they realize, oh, there were people living there. They were the natives, and there are very strong social problems. Now the point is creation care doable in Peru? Yeah, I think so. The local communities, they are increasing population and they demand land. So what happens is that they trespass protected areas. And several of these communities are mainly evangelicals. Or if they are not mainly evangelicals, the pastors or the leaders have a strong influence in these communities. And I think that conservationists need to get an approach to them. Approach and then get a common ground. Well, and this this photo is in 1994. That was one of my first field trips to a very, very inaccessible place in the rainforest. We went into the lands of a native community that were the Ashaninka, and almost 80% of this native community were Pentecostals. And they love to hear about the birds. They have a tape recorder, and this is the Book of Birds of Colombia. And I was amazed that they recognize all the sounds of the birds. I test them, and I even make a paper on that about the names of the birds in that language, Ashaninka. More than 170 names of these birds. Also, these people, they invite me to a night of worship, and they want to know why I was there and why I was doing research on birds. But that was very nice to see in places where there is almost no authority. They even hardly speak Spanish, but they were praising the Lord, and also they were suffering a bit about pressure of loggers and people that want their land. So, how to approach communities like this? How we want to get these people of these churches that are in local areas, native communities, or the peasant communities in the high Andes? What will be the best way to approach? Well, to synthesize our experience, that is the framework. It seems to the best way to reach them. Well, first of all, we need to locate what is the religious group or the denomination that could be a potential partner in conservation. That could be a missionary center or a church that is close to a protected area. Then let's go and visit them. Visit them and make a contact. Make a first contact, introduce ourselves. If we're going to approach a Pentecostal church and in our team as somebody who is Pentecostal, it's good to go with them, or he's a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or so. And then let's look for the leaders and talk about what does the Bible say about conservation. What is the responsible stewardship? What is creation care? Using the Bible. No other literature is better, first of all, the Bible. And then let's go and address the world environmental problems about global warming, pollution, deforestation, with Bible references. For us, the best source for approaching in this is this book by Calvin DeWitt, Missionary Earthkeeping. is a good source of Bible reference of how to link the environmental degradation with Bible verses. And then the idea is to get a response, and the response is to organize with them a workshop in creation care with the members and look for a practical solution for these problems. There could be some possible problems that we have faced, and this is some sort of advice that I will give to anybody who would like to do that. Well, first of all, do not try to get in dogmatic issues. That means do not say, okay, this is our prophet, this is our apostle, what do you think? Or do you think that is, first of all, have to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues under... No. Okay, that's your opinion, but no problem, yeah. No, not talk about that. There are some strong differences between evangelicals that it is not our point. So it's better to avoid that. And also something quite important is try to not address a topic of origins. When we have gone to these churches, and well, some of them, and we said that we came to teach you about how to conserve creation, I say, oh, so you come here to promote creationism. We came to teach about creation, what the Bible said about taking care of the land. Nothing else. If they ask me, so are you a creationist? I respond, I believe that God is the creator. I believe that the Bible has the supreme authority. But I think that it's better to know how to take care of the creation instead of getting to know about times or so on. Try to not talk about that. And really, some of these people, some of these churches in rural communities, some of the people, they even don't know how to read. So why am I going to go deep into some of these difficult issues that they even do not understand? It's better not to go deep in this area. If we go to a church in the city, we have some members that have a better education. And if some of them really are interested in doing that, maybe some college students that wants to study science, or they are studying science, well, we can address that, but in private, not in public. That will not be wise, I think. And also, it's important to be ready to listen without compromising. Some of these churches, some of these local communities have their specific problems. Maybe they have problems with the government. Maybe they have problems with group members. Maybe they have land problems or so. We're not the saviors. We cannot solve all their problems. We do here, but we cannot promise, I'm going to get you money to build your church. We cannot do that. No? We cannot fix their environmental problems. And also, well, that didn't happen to us, but I know that in some places have happened. There could be opposition, intolerance, or maybe corruption. No? There are some groups that we thought that they were evangelicals, but they were really a sect. And the leader was really a very bad guy. So we said, no, we cannot work with these guys. It's better to avoid them. So what do we want? What do we want from these groups? What do we want from the churches in these areas? We want cooperation. We want cooperation with conservation organizations. If we do represent one conservation organization, we want the church to be in our side. We want that they can develop or they can be involved in practical local projects to conserve habitats. If this church is very close to a forest, we want them to do something for the forest. If there is a threatened species that is living in one piece of land that is owned by the church, we want the church to know about that and to be committed to conserve this species. And there also could be a church conservation committee. Maybe there are people in the church that really like about conservation, they like this idea, and they can have a specific group that could be the conservation committee of the church. As there are committees for worship, committees for the elderly, committees to reach the poor, no? That could be a conservation committee. Also, the incorporation of nature appreciation in worship services. There are a lot of hymns on the evangelical and Protestant tradition that talk about the glory of God in nature, and some of them are not very well known, or even not people sing about that, but they do not reflect on that. No? So we say, okay, look, now this song tells about the lilies of the field, about the birds of the air. Now get to know which are the flowers that you have, which are the birds that you have. Now you can see what God has created to you. Then education of children and adults in conservation. And the personal commitment of church members to get involved in conservation activities. Maybe the church is, or the leaders of the church are going to say, no, we cannot do any project on conservation because we're not able, we don't have time, we don't have any resource. But if there are some institutions or that do conservation in that area, say, oh, what? Okay, there are these people that want to do conservation, we can link to them and we can get them to participate. Well, there are some alternatives and opposition to creation care that we have found. Well, liberation theology has influenced a lot some areas in Latin America, mainly the Catholic Church. But even some, I have seen that some evangelicals are very sympathetic to this doctrine. Some of the pastors, when we have approached them and said, they talk about the environmental problems, said, oh, yes, this is the problem because there's corruption in the government and we should do something to change the politicians. And they change the subject from environment to politics. And, well, I have feel that they want to use these environmental problems as a pretext to go and do political action. Maybe it's not good for them, that's okay, but that's not our discourse. We don't want to change the government, we don't want to change the mayor or the senators, no. We want to get them involved in some practical conservation problems. There are some groups that go and teach the even the poorest members of some areas said, okay, come and you have to give, you have to give. You have to give for the church, and God is going to prosper you. God is going to give you everything. So when we go and said, oh, let's go and talk and invest in conservation, your time in conservation. No. That's not for us. You have to give everything for the Lord. That means give me your money. And that's very bad. That's terrible. These guys should be in jail because they are even robbing the poor. Well, that's my opinion. And there are also some churches that talk about conservation, talk about creation care. That's not spiritual. Has nothing to do with our mission. We have to reach safe souls, not safe trees, no? Not safe animals. God has not doesn't want us to invest on that. No? So no, that's not spiritual. So we don't want to go there. What can we do with them? And by the side of the non-Christians, that because we wanted to involve Christians and also people that are non-Christian that want to conserve nature and talk about the importance of considering the religious aspect of conservation, there is a resurgence of the native cults in some areas of Peru. That is I'll call it the deep ecology in a shamanism culture. What is the Pachamama? Pachamama is a word in Quechua that means the Mother Earth. So those are these guys who want to restore the ancient traditions of worshiping the land, and they called it paying the land. And these people like this are not just ignorant peasants or illiterate peasants. There is a professor in the university where I make my master's, a specialist in botany, who, when she goes to in her expeditions to some areas of the rainforest or the high Andes, before they get into this area, she said, we have to pay the land. So that means you have to make a special ritual and do a sort of prayer to the land, to the hill. Say that is because if we don't do that, something bad may happen, because there is a sort of a spirit there that if we do not honor it, something bad may happen. Well, that is superstition. That is, but that happens. That some people believe in that. Some people say, well, this is the way of taking care of the land. Well, and also there's a lot of prejudice and incredulity between the conservationists. With some of them said, no, that is religion, and I'm a scientist, so stay away. No, this talking, you come to talk about the Bible, talk about these principles. That's good for you, not for me. Cool. Well, what were the practical things that we did? Well, we did really a lot of things, but I'm going to point what we have done in six cities around the country, and what were the results on them. Well, first of all, the main city of Lima, we have tried to reach several churches or institutions. We try to in Lima has it's in the Pacific Desert, but there is an ecosystem for conservation concern that are the coastal wetlands that have a rich area of biodiversity. We went and to the theological seminary of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We talked to about 150 people that were the people that were preparing to become pastors. And what were the response after we have done a speech there? And the principal of the seminar invited us to give a course, a new course in the seminar. And the new course was Ecology and Christianity. Here we got the opportunity to teach them why it's important ecology and conservation. We came to a Lutheran church, and after talking to them, there was a proposal field trip with children. And a church of the Christian Missionary Alliance, no, the field trip. There were some areas that there were no response, these places. And in one area, the presentation were denied because they think that we were telling a strange philosophy or evolutionism view of life or so on. So they say, no, I don't want you to come here. In the south, there is the city, Ica, that was almost destroyed because of the big earthquake. And here we came talking to different churches there, and we engaged them in a restoration process through reforestation from this tree that is the dry forest, the Warango forest. In another city that is in the mountain forest, we were invited to talk about this topic, and they decided that they have to do a field trip with children in the national park. In Ayacucho, that is in the high Andes, we were invited by the Bible United Society, and the result was that we published a booklet called For Caring God's Creation. That was the title. In the Monterrey Forest of Tarapoto, there was a meeting for the park rangers or Peruvian National Park System. And we designed a strategy how to reach churches. And here at the end, they invited the pastor to talk about what the Bible says. Not what the Bible said about conservation. They wanted to know what the Bible says. And later we gave them Bibles to 45 people there. And in Juanjuy, after a talk, this is the pastor who is guiding their youth to a field trip to a national park. And there are some youth of the church that are involved in conservation of the national park as volunteers. Well, to conclude, all the responses that we got from all these places, the majority were positive, some of them indifferent, and just one was negative. They say, no, we don't care about that. And we got that there is a very important potential for cooperation with evangelical groups, that it's impossible that dialogue using the creation care doctrine. And if you have not come to Peru, come to visit to do research or evangelism. Okay, thank you.